If you are following the series that we have already completed Romans chapter 12. And today we'll start with Romans chapter 13, and we'll look from verse 1 to verse 7 with this topic on our responsibility to our government, our leaders of the nation. So these 4 months, from the month of May to the month of August, we are studying the practical application of the book of Romans. From chapter 1 to chapter 11 is the doctrine part of it, and it's very important. We've got to get our doctrines right. And then from chapter 12 all the way to chapter 16 is the application. And so we are just focusing on the application. And if you still remember, the theme for our church for this year, 2012, today is 1st of July. You realize that half a year has gone by. So we're only left with the second part of the year. The first half of the year, if we have wasted our time, we have not learned much, then please don't let it be the same for the second part of the year. If not, you come to the end of the year, you have not grown at all. Because the Bible reminds us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So have you been growing the Lord? Every time you hear God's word, does it make an impact, a change in your life? Last week, Dr. To Siang Hua was here and he challenged us, if you still remember, come to worship, come early. And he said, can you come 15 minutes early so that you prepare our hearts to seek the Lord? Wow, it's not easy to some, right? 15 minutes. But there's a challenge, and I think we should all endeavor by God's grace to say, I want to grow, I want to seek the Lord, I want to prepare my heart. And then you make it a point, you prepare your hearts, you come early for worship, such that you can be still, and then you can learn God's word and ask the Lord to prepare us. And so from chapter 12 all the way to chapter 16 of Romans is what we're going to learn of the very practical application. We have already gone through chapter 12 from various speakers. If you still remember, that practical application of Christian life relates as a member to the church, our relationship in the church. We are not just isolated. We are not just a Sunday member to warm up the chair here and then we go home and that's it. I've done my duty. It is not this way. The Bible says we are all members of one body in Christ. And every one of us is given a gift to serve the Lord. And so may I once again also encourage you to serve the Lord. Each one of us in our different ways. Some of you, I really thank the Lord that you are here early. You pull up all the hymnals, set up all the boards. Praise the Lord for your desire, your zeal to serve the Lord. And keep it up. Don't say that, oh, nobody saw me doing all this. Nobody appreciate me. Don't say that, right? The Lord knows it, and the Lord will bless you richly. We thank the Lord for all who serve as ushers. Thank the Lord for all who are the chairman of the worship. So we thank the Lord for all who serve the Lord. And that's what the Bible reminds us, that in our relationship in the church, we are not just coming here to warm up the seat and just come on Sunday and then go home and say hi, bye. Right? That's not the way. And the way the Bible reminds us in our relationship with one another, in our service, is to be diligent. And we have to love one another without dissimulation. Don't be a hypocrite. That is, don't be someone who just pretend to smile, but inside the heart, I hate you, I dislike you. All right? The Bible says love without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. And so there must be sincerity and fervency in our love for one another. And so in chapter 12, it's not just relationship in the church. Relationship also has to do with what? The needy. If you still remember, I preached here about being able to distribute to the necessity of the saints. So there are those who are poor, who are needy, those who need help. And we must be able and be willing to contribute. And that means even giving our resources, our money to help. And also the relationship extends all the way to strangers. The Bible reminds us to be hospitable to strangers. And then in chapter 12, you still remember the relationship extends to what? Even those who are our enemies. Those who were always treat us badly and who will say words that are unkind to us and probably who are not even smart to us. But the Bible reminds us that we ought to love our enemies, to show love to them, be kind to them, and do good to them. And so if you notice, all this aspect of the relationship extends to not just the church itself, but to all others who are outside the church. And the way we ought to respond is in our deed, in our thoughts, in our attitude, ought to be pleasing to the Lord, and it's not easy. But one thing that you're going to learn from Romans, and today we're going to learn, that this relationship also extends to how we relate to our leaders of the country. And that's in Romans chapter 13. And today I'm going to talk about Romans chapter 13, our relationship to the government. Now listen here. A Christian life is not one that is divisible. A Christian life is not one that you can segmentalize. Can you see that from Romans 12 all the way? That the Christian life, you cannot say that I just do good to all those in church, full stop. I just be kind to all those in my own community. It is not. The Christian life relates to every aspect of our whole being, all kinds of relationships that we are involved in, we are related to. And so that is very important as you study the Word of God, that you cannot detach one part from another. And that's what the Bible wants us to know, that that's how it is in our Christian life, that whoever you relate to, whether in the church, in your school, in your classmates, in your workplace, in your colleagues, in your neighbor, even to our leaders of our country, it ought to be according to what the Bible wants us to do. And that is how we ought to respond in the way we relate to one another. And so I hope that even as we proceed and as we study different sections from all the way from Romans chapter 12 to 16, you will find that you cannot divide your Christian life. You cannot say that I'm doing well in church, I mean, every Sunday in the worship, then that's good enough. You cannot say that, because it is not just on Sunday. How are you when you're at home? Some of you are very naughty children, right, at home, because you're very disrespectful to your parents. And you will be very disobedient, and you argue back against your parents. And that is wrong. You can't just tell the Lord, I'm doing well in church, everybody likes me here, and they say I'm very cute. Yeah, you're very cute here, but are you cute also at home? Cute in the sense you're obedient. And some of you will say that, well, I'm doing well in the church, I'm serving as a deacon, an elder, and everybody respect me. But how are you also in your workplace? Does a colleague say to you that, well, you're also a kind, helpful colleague? Or everybody in the workplace say that this person is horrible, you know? There's no such word. Horrible incorrigible, whatever. And all your colleagues will look at you and say they will not want to be close to you, they will not want to lunch with you because you are such a bad testimony at your workplace. And that is, again, very wrong for us to behave in this manner, not according to the teaching of God's word. And so, dearly beloved, let's be very clear that our Christian life cannot be divided, and it is 24-7. You know 24-7? 24 hours every day, 7 days a week. It has to be living for Jesus. And the word that I want to bring across to you today is the word called testimony. Testimony. You got to be a testimony everywhere. Not just in church. It's important in church, yes. In your workplace, in your home, in your school, in your neighborhood. You have to be a testimony. You can put in your house door a big cross. Jesus is the head of this family. But every time you look at your neighbors, you don't smile at your neighbors. You sweep away all the dirt and all the dust to your neighbor's side. And you say that, right, this is Jesus, the head of this house. What a shame then. So the Lord must help us and remind us this word called testimony. We have a testimony for the Lord. Every day, every moment, every relationship to everyone that we meet. How is your testimony today? Some parents sometimes will ring me up, Uncle John, when I talk to my child, behave very badly. They come to Ebenezer, very good, but then go home, very naughty. that is what? A bad testimony. What is a testimony? How are you in school? What will your classmates say of you today? All our children here, students, look at me. What will your classmates say of you? What will your teacher write in your report book? Nowadays, teachers are supposed to write positive things, so cannot trust them. Right? What will your classmate think of you? What will they think of you? What will they see you? Can they say that this is a faithful Christian? In the army, when I was in the army, as an officer, some other officer shared this to me. I haven't gone to chapter 13. I'm going to tell you this. They shared this, that I have a fellow officer, very faithful Christian, but they were in OCS time, still training. But we're going to tempt him and make him fall into sin. They went for Taiwan training. During the R&R in the hotel, he asked a prostitute to go into his room. And he ran out of the room. I said, this is testimony. You're tempted by the world. You're tempted by the world. And people want to make you fall. A non-Christian will want to make you fall. But how is our testimony? Can we follow and obey what the Lord wants us to do? Anybody? Not easy. How to love your enemies. How to do good to those. How to give them a cup of coffee when they don't even smile at us. Right? You still remember? But we have to do it for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's name's sake. Now I'm going to come to chapter 13. Can you open your Bible? Look at chapter 13. And now this afternoon is our relationship. It has to do with our government, our civil authority, our leaders who are in charge of our country. And it's very clear if you read with me. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Can you read with me? Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Are you there? Okay, we together? Ready, go. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Let every soul, every one of us, right, the Bible tells us, be subject, be submissive, be obedient unto who? The higher powers, the authority. Right? Who are the higher powers? The government, the leaders of our country. Let's be very clear. This is what the Bible teaches us. I'm sure last week we all are shaken by the news of City Harvest Church. I was at a coffee shop eating already. The next table was talking about it. Everybody seems to be talking about it. The Christian testimony is very important. The church in the country also has to bear a very good testimony. And I think we are all, in a way, shaken. There are lots of comments. But my position, and I think our position is clear, that let the law take its due course. Right? We don't have to make any judgment whether there's any fraud, any misappropriation of money, because let the judge find out all the facts and evidence and make a decision out of it. But the very fact that a church has been prosecuted, or the members or the leaders have been prosecuted, already is a testimony that we are all affected, and people speak badly of our Christian faith. And if you read the various newspaper report, it is very sad that it has taken place. We are very clear, we do not support the teaching of the church, the charismatic teachings. We are very sure we do not support any form of pop songs that can lead to sharing the gospel. That's not the teaching of the Bible. But to come under the authority of the government and be prosecuted by the government certainly speaks of whether are we being submissive and are we being obedient to the Lord. Later on, we're going to have our church annual congregational meeting. Our treasurer, Isaac, will be giving us a treasurer report. Can you imagine if our church suddenly lost hundreds of thousands of dollars? We don't have that much, millions. We just have about 400,000, I don't know. Later, Isaac will report. It's going to be a testimony that we shame the Lord. it's going to be a testimony that as a church, we are supposed to hold a higher standard for the Lord and we shame the Lord if we have broken the law. And so the Bible is very clear to us. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 say that let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That there is the authority and we are submissive and we have to listen and we have to follow the laws of the land. It's very clear from the Bible. I think anyone who can read this verse will know that this is what the Bible teaches us. Now, if you know that Scripture will never contradict Scripture, there are only two exceptions to this rule. Alright? All other, we have to comply, to follow. What is the first exception? The first exception to this rule is that when the government commands us to do what God forbids, then we cannot obey the rule of the nation. So this is the first exception. If the government commands us and make a law to do what God forbids, for example, suddenly we want to honor all our past leaders or the founder of the nation, and then they erect up the Stamford Raffles statue and say, every time you see this statue, you must kowtow and bow to it. Or you want, you can put a joystick to it. Well, if that is the rule, I'm sure our government won't do that, at least now. Then as a Christian, even though it's the law of the land, and the law says that you must bow to this statue of the Stamford Raffles, but we know from God's word that we do not bow to any graven image, and so we will not obey then the law of the land. So this is the first, and we must remember that if the government commands us to do what God forbids, then we'll rather obey God than men. Right, so that's important. Now the second exception to this is that it's just a reverse. Is that we cannot do what the government forbids if God commands it. You understand what I say? We cannot do what the government forbids if God commands it. So if government say, I forbid every one of you to hold and own a Bible, all Bible must be thrown away and nobody can read the Bible. Now, if government say and forbid us to have a Bible, but we know that God commands us to read His Word, so what should we do? We still have to obey and do what the Lord wants. If government say to us that all Sunday worship has to be closed, no more Sunday worship, no church can operate. If government forbids Sunday worship for the Christian, what should we do? Go home and watch our soccer game, is it? No. We don't do that. We still must find a place, maybe a secret place, a tunnel, a cave. Right? In the past, they have that. I do not know. Maybe you have a bomb shelter in your house. Maybe we have to gather there. We have to find maybe different spots, different areas, and we still must obey and follow what God commands us in the worship. And so these are only the two exceptions. Other than that, we all, in all circumstances, in all any other laws, you and I must obey. If there's national service to do, all the men, all the boys here, don't say, I run away. All right, you follow the law and go for your national service. And don't AWOL. Huh? If you have to pay your COE in order to buy a car, don't try to be funny and find a way to get a car without a COE. Right? That is the law. It doesn't go against the word of God, so we just follow, and you may not like it, but we just have to obey and be submissive to the law. See? There are only these two exceptions. Right? In all other circumstances, let us be obedient and let us be submissive to the nation as taught by God's word. Now, when the Bible tells us that we have to be submissive to the government, the civil authority, God is also very kind to show us the reason. So I'm going to give you five reasons taken all the way from verse 1 to verse 5. Right, there are the five reasons that God gives us why we should submit to the civil authority, the government. Now the last two verses, verse 6 and 7, is an application that we ought, in order to, one of the ways to submit is to pay our tax. I'm going to talk about paying tax from verse 6 and verse 7. You pay your tax? Yeah, you pay GST, right? You buy something, that's your tax or so. So we have to pay our tax, and that's taught in the Bible. So God is very gracious and kind to give us in His Word how we ought to relate to our country. All right, the first reason. Now, the first reason that why we ought to submit and be obedient to our government, those in authority, yeah, is in verse 1, the second part of it. Right? The first part is very clear. We are to submit, we have to listen, be obedient. Now, let's follow verse 1, yeah? Verse 1b. That's the first reason. He says here, "For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." So the first reason is this, that it is God who has ordained the government. It is God who has, in His own divine wisdom and decree, has instituted that every country will have a government. And so this is God's decree, God's ordination, all ordained by God and God's institution. And so you and I must listen to the way of God. And so this is the first reason that God is the one who ordained the civil authority over every country. And we must submit to it because it is the one that God has instituted. If God has, in His wisdom, know that this is the best for every country, then it is surely something that you and I must listen and obey. Can you imagine going to a country where there is no government? No, 没政府, that's what they say. All the disorder, you won't dare to be. You won't want to be there. In March, we were in Myanmar for a mission. We were quite fearful because when you hear about Myanmar, you know, you worry of the unrest and you do not know what will happen to you. I went to Iran many years back for a conference. You know Iran? You dare to be there? It was quite fearful. I was quite fearful when I was there because you really worry what the government will do. I'm just giving you some example to illustrate that if you are worried about certain government and they have not no proper rule, no proper order, it can be quite fearful. And so God in His wisdom knows that a country needs to have order, security, life ought to be protected, property ought to be protected. And so God in His wisdom knows that it has to have a government. And so it is ordained by God. And God knows that it is the way. You don't want to go to any country without any rule and every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And that would be terrible. Right? And so God says, "I have ordained it." The Bible tells us that it's all ordained by God. Now, having said this, now take note that the Bible did not specify what type of government we ought to submit to. The Bible didn't say if it's democratic government, democracy, or like America or Europe, then you submit to the leader. If it's dictatorship, then you don't submit. No, the Bible did not say that. And so it means to tell us that whatever country you are in, whatever kind of system of government they are in, whether is it democratic, socialist, whether is it dictatorship, or whether it is military rule, or whether it is ruled by, or even Islamic religion, and so on. The Bible didn't specify, it just say that it is ordained by God. Whatever government, we just have to submit and to follow and to honor the government. And so it's important then for us to see that point and to realize that we ought to learn how to submit whichever the rule is. Now, remember when Paul was writing to the Roman Christian in the book of Romans, the Roman authority were people who were very cruel. Right? They can just kill anyone if you're against them. The Roman authority, they were the one who were persecuting Christians. And finally, Apostle Paul died at the hands of the Roman soldier. And yet here, he's writing in the inspiration of God and says, "Submit, be in subjection unto the higher power, even the Roman government." And so it does not matter what form of government. The Bible says, be submissive. It is ordained by God. Then you may say, "Hey, Elder John, then, but the government is very cruel. They are those dictatorship and they are abusive. How come God has ordained it?" Now, I want to say this, that when we say that God has ordained the government, it does not mean that every form of government or every government in this world is following and doing what pleases the Lord. I'll give you an illustration. Marriage, is it ordained by the Lord? Is it an institution ordained by the Lord? Yes, is marriage an institution ordained by the Lord? But today, a lot of marriages are what? In shambles, in failures, in divorce, in abuse. Is it God, then you are responsible for all this failure? No. It is man's sin. It's man themselves not following the way of the Lord. So it's the same. Government is ordained by the Lord. Yes, God wants a system in every country to have those in charge. But man, because of their own sin, they have failed the Lord, and abuses, corruption takes place in many countries today. But God is not responsible for it. You cannot blame God for this failure. So we must understand and be very clear that if there is a good government, God is at work. Remember, God is at work. God is present. God ordained it. So God is at work. God is interested in every government. So for a good government, God is at work doing what? Preserving righteousness, punishing those who are evil doing. For a bad government, those who are corrupted, those who abuse the people, God is also there. God has ordained it. God is also there. But God is at work what? God is going to judge the leaders. God is going to punish them. God is going to ensure that they will have the price to pay for their sin, for their wickedness. So God is at work and God has ordained. And that is the first reason why you and I must submit, because it is an institution, the government, civil authority that is ordained by God. Don't say because, oh, Uncle John, you are a civil servant or from the stat board you say this. This is what the Bible says. But what about Christians? Christians in countries that are persecuted, they have to go to jail. What should their response be? The Bible says we have to submit. So if you are a Christian and you're in a communist country, and they persecute your faith, or in an Islamic country, they persecute your faith, then you and I must be willing and say, I will obey God, but I will not rebel against the government. I will submit and go to jail. Go to jail? Yes, go to jail. But don't go and rebel. Quietly submit to, this is the way the government wants it. There are many, many who have gone to jail for the Lord. Do you know that? Even today, if you just go to the website, internet, and do a search and Google, you find that there are today still many true believers who spend their life in jail for the Lord. When I was young, still worshipping in Live BB Church then, before Tabernacle was formed, they invited Richard Wurmbrand. Those days, the Eastern Bloc of Europe was still under the communist rule. Richard Wurmbrand, Torture for Christ. Some of you may have read his book. Personally, he came to Singapore. He preached at Live BB Church then. I was a young boy. And he was in jail for more than 10 years for the Lord. And he was tortured so badly that he could not stand up to preach. They had to bring a high chair for him such that he had to sit down and to preach, because he was so much torture in prison. And yet they submitted. They submitted to the government. They accept it. They submit it. They don't rebel against the government. And they just be willing to go to jail. In one of my conference last time, when I was still working in some project in Beijing, I remember Sister Miriam given me a contact of a Chinese pastor who was also jailed. So during the night time, I went over to his church, the house church, to see him. And they have a prayer meeting. After that, I talked to him. He was jailed also. Couple of years in China prison. And he told me he was jailed. He stand firm for the Lord. Dearly beloved, this a testimony. Submit to the government. Ready to go even to jail for the Lord. Now, second reason why we should submit to the civil authority, the government. That's in verse 2. Right, the first part of verse 2. Okay, you follow me, yeah? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Now, this is the second reason the Bible tells us why we should submit to the government. That if you resist the government, it's actually what? Rebellion against God. You actually resist against God. Can you see what the Bible says? Whosoever resists the power. Now, the word power tells us about the higher power, the civil authority, the government. If you resist it, you go against it, then you are actually going against who? You're actually going against God Himself. Oh, that's very serious, dearly beloved, because the Bible is telling us this is a serious thing. If you break the law, you go against the government, you rebel, then you're actually going against God Himself. That's what the Bible says to us. It's just like King David, when he's seen the sin of adultery, in Psalm 51, what did he say? He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Yes, he has sinned against Bathsheba, against the husband of Bathsheba, Uriah, but he realizes that ultimately he sinned against who? Sin against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. And so it's the same here, that when we resist the government, the authority, we are actually resisting against God. And so you and I as Christians, we do not resist and rebel against the government. So you do not go to the streets. None of us must appear in the streets and then start to protest against the COE. Why so high? Or say, oh, I want to scrap this educational system. No more PSLE. Well, who is taking PSLE? No more PSLE. You do not do that. You do not resist, because when you do that, you're actually challenging who? God Himself. God has put the government, you follow, and you do not resist. When I was studying in UK, 95, 96, I remember in the news, the government wanted to build, you know, this expressway. In the process of building the expressway, you have to cut away many trees, right, in order to build a clear accessway. And there are those who are environmentalists, who believe in nature, keeping the trees, and they will go into the tree, they will chain themselves under the tree and tie themselves in the tree so that the government cannot chop off the tree. In order to chop the tree, you chop them off. So, and they will do all this just to what? To rebel against, right, the policy, the rule of the land. And some people will admire them and say, wow, great, wonderful. I hope you don't admire them. When they resist against the government, they resist against God. See? So as Christians, we must know our action. I'm not saying that we agree with every policy of the government, but there is a proper place for it. For example, when the government wanted to set up the casino, definitely we are against the casino. But we don't go to the casino and set up fire at the casino door and burn the casino, right? You don't do that, right? We don't have to be silent. We can write a letter. In fact, the churches, the BP churches, we have written letters to the government to say that this is against the word of God. This is not good for our country. Yes, we do it in the right, proper, orderly way. And that's how we should approach the issue. We don't have to be silent, but we must do it in the right way. We don't go and protest. There's a speaker corner. If you want to speak up certain policy, you can go and speak up. It's within the law. Yes, please do it. But you're not supposed to speak religious issues. So do it within the law, the confine of the law. Because when you resist, you rebel against God. So this is something that we must be very careful of. Now, as Christians, especially during election time, I noticed that the social media is one tool that some of us like to blast the government. Now, remember what the Bible says. You resist the government, you rebel against God. So be very careful what you write, what you post on your Facebook, on your social media tool, because this is a testimony that you bear. You are a Christian, you follow the word of the Lord, obey the word of the Lord, not what Uncle John said, what the Bible says, what God wants us to do. So you post words carefully and not against the word of the Lord. So young people, you like to go to the Facebook and you like to put a lot of messages, but be very careful. Just a couple of weeks, I spent a lot of time dealing with one of Temasek Poly students who posts a Facebook that speaks against Singapore citizen. He's a China PR. Lots of time to get and solve this problem for him. Be very careful. Why? Because the Bible says so. Not because not because someone say, not because the church say, because the Bible say, you want to be a good children of the Lord, you want to follow the Lord, you want to obey God's word, and that has to do also with your relationship with the government, that if you resist against the Lord. You see. Now, let me give you the third reason. That is the second part of verse 2b, the second part. Right, the third reason. The Bible says in verse 2b, they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So the third reason the Bible gives us, that if you resist, you go against the government, you rebel against the government, you will be punished. See, God is very clear. You will be punished. Right? You will receive what? Your damnation, your punishment, the condemnation. And this condemnation is talking about the authority coming down to punish you. See? So if you go ahead and you want to resist, you want to go against God's word, then the result is that you will receive your punishment. And the Bible says this very clearly. See, the authority, the civil authority has the right. You know, in the Old Testament, when you say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life, it has nothing to do with private, personal vengeance. So don't ever quote this and say that I must take revenge against you because you step on my shoe. Right? When the Bible says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life, it always has to do with what? This is judicial. This is, has to do with the government, the law of the land, punishing those who are disobedient, those who go against the law of the land. And so if you go against it, the Bible says you deserve it, you will receive your damnation, your punishment. So the law will punish those who are disobedient, those who go against the law. You want to be able in the army? You'll be put in a detention barrack. So our young men here, when you go into the army, follow the rule. They ask you to report at this time, you just report. No matter how tired you are, how you drag the training, you just go and follow it. When I was an officer, I went to visit some of my men in detention barrack because they ran away, they were caught, and it's a terrible place to be there. Jehovah's Witness refuse, it's a cult, and say that people cannot carry arms. And they, those who are Jehovah's Witness, they will be sent for 3 years, detention in a certain place that they are put there. They don't hold arms, but they will be punished for 3 years. They go against it. When you go against the law, the Bible is very clear. The Bible tells us very plainly, you will receive your punishment. You will receive your punishment. And so, if you go all the way to verse 4b, can you go with me? The same reason that is given here in verse 4b, verse 4, the second part of it. And it tells us the same reason that if thou do that which is evil, can you see that? You do that which is evil, right? You break the law, you do that which is evil, you rebel against the government, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister. He's talking about the government, the rulers. Right, they carry a sword, right? The sword is to punish the minister of God. And the Bible even called them the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And so the government has this right, this authority to punish those who go and who does evil and who breaks the law. And so be very careful, dearly beloved, as a Christian, that we do not break the law. If not, you'll be afraid. Those of us who drive, right? You drive, right? Those who drive, the law say, well, if that road is 80 kilometers per hour, and if you're driving at 100 kilometers per hour, are you afraid? I'm sure you're afraid when you see Uncle Sam, right? You will be afraid, right? You will be afraid. And that's what the Bible say. Exactly the Bible say, you do that which is evil. You go against the law, then the law say 80 kilometers, you go above it, you will be afraid. Be afraid. Why? Because there is those who are the bearer of the sword. They are those who will execute judgment. And so we all have to respect the law enforcer. If they come and they book you, right, because you have exceeded your speed limit, be submissive and pay the fine. Because, and don't argue and don't try to threaten them. Because the Bible says they are the minister of God. They are the minister of God. They execute whatever wrath for those who have done evil, for those who have broken the law. And so in order not to break the law, not to be afraid, just follow the speed limit. So someone said, if the speed limit is 80 kilometers per hour and you drive at 100 kilometers per hour, what happened? The Holy Spirit is 20 kilometers behind you. And so you will be punished, right? You'll be punished. And so we have to, if we are punished, we have to admit it. We deserve it. We deserve it, and we don't argue it because we have been not following the laws. And so the Bible is clear to us that this is the third reason. Those who oppose, right, will receive the punishment. Eh? Oppose the government will receive the punishment. Now the fourth reason, verse 3. Let's read verse 3, yeah, together. Can we read verse 3 together? That's a fourth reason. Eh? Romans chapter 13, verse 3. Together. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So the fourth reason is that the government is there to serve to restrain evils. So God has put the government to restrain that all this evil thing will be contained. See? The government has the right to punish for the purpose to restrain evil. And so do remember this, and it's very important for us that the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. See? So it's only for those who have broken the laws, for those who resist, right? It is to contain them and to restrain them. See? The law is to protect the land, to protect and to give us peace, security. See? You are only thankful that we have a good government with good laws. And we thank the Lord for Singapore that we have that. See? And it really serves to restrain a lot of evil. Man's heart is very evil. Do you still remember what happened in London just last year or so? There was a riot that even in a country like in England, and people loot the shops, and they go out in the streets, and they break all the shops, they steal everything they want to steal, where there's lawlessness. And so the government serve a very important purpose to restrain evils, and they have a right to punish. And so there's no need to fear if you are doing good. You see. And so remember that. Now let's move on to verse 4. Verse 4, that's the fifth reason. The first part of verse 4, that he is a minister of God to those, to thee for good. You see. So government serve to promote good, right? To protect those who do the right things. And so it's important that as a Christian, we be a good citizen. We be a good citizen. A good citizen and the government will praise us. The government will say and look at the church and say the church is doing good for the country. It's a testimony. It's such a wonderful testimony. And so the Bible says to us, right, in verse 4, that the government, he's a minister of God to thee for good. So the government serves to promote good, right, to protect those who do the right things. And I hope that even as a church, we continue to do good and be a good testimony for the country. So that when the country, the government look at Christians, they say, these are good citizens. These are citizens who are submissive, who obey the law. Recently, if you read in the newspaper, finally the government has allowed industry building for religious purpose. A lot of churches are using those industry buildings. Actually, it's only meant for factories, but a lot of churches have rented those industry buildings used for worship. And the government is aware of it. At one point in time, they wanted to cram it down. Recently, they changed the ruling. They allow a certain percentage of industry building for religious purpose, knowing that mainly it's used by churches for worship. I think it's a good sign that the government recognizes that the church is bearing a good testimony, is behaving themselves well. You never want it to be opened up where the people are rebelling against the government. But the church must take the responsibility to ensure that even this good that we have, we ought to behave ourselves. We ought to make sure that we do not cause problem, chaos. We do not cause, a lot of churches, they cause traffic congestions. They are nuisance to their neighbors. And that's bad testimony. You see. Of course, we thank the Lord that we are here. But you never know, one day we have to move again and we end up in some other places. We have to be a good testimony. We have to follow and obey the laws. So the Word of God tells us very clearly, five reasons why we have to submit to the government. Number one, right, government is ordained by God. Number two, government, when you resist, you rebel against government, you rebel against God Himself. Number three, that those who rebel will receive the punishment, right, the just punishment. And number four, the government serves with a purpose to restrain evildoers. And number five, the government serves to promote the good, right? Those who, to protect those who do well. See? And so that's the reason why God has put government in every country. And so in our country, in Singapore, that is the same reason why we all learn to submit, to honor the government. Now, let's look at verse 5. Can you look at verse 5? And in this portion, the first part of it, the Bible concludes this first portion of being submissive and be a good Christian citizen of the country by saying this, that in verse 5, you must need be subject not only for wrath, right? You don't just be submissive because you are afraid of punishment, but also for what? Conscience sake. So don't have a guilty conscience. If you have a guilty conscience, then it will be a bad testimony. And so for conscience sake, let's obey the law of the land. Let's follow and be submissive to the rules of the country, to our nation, to our leaders, and let's honor them. And then the government, right, will look at us, and also they'll give us the due recognition. And so for conscience sake, we all want to live in a country that is peaceful. We want to live in a country that is orderly. And so for a good conscience sake, let us be a good Christian citizen and obey the rule of the land. Now you turn your Bible to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you want to have a good conscience, dearly beloved, let me share to you what the Bible says. You want to have a good conscience, then you do this. And that's what I always remember in my prayer to the Lord every day, to do this. The Bible tells us, you want to have a good conscience, then you follow what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. I exhort, therefore, that for, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. And then look at verse 2 carefully. For kings and for all that are in authority. So the Bible is telling us, pray for those who are in charge, the rulers, the cabinet ministers, all those who are civil leaders, all who are kings, who are in authority. Why? That we may live a what? Lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We all desire that. And you want to have a good conscience before the Lord. You want to be a good citizen. The Bible says, pray for the leaders of the country. Pray for them. Pray for them. Do what is right. Be a good example. The law says, do not litter. What do you do? Don't litter. Don't say, how can? Don't litter. Follow the law of the land. See? Have a good conscience. Pray for the leaders. And I take time every day and remind myself, pray for the leaders. Now I want to quickly end with back to Romans chapter 13, the last two verses. I've given you the five reasons why we should submit to the government as taught by the Word of God, and why we should do it for conscience sake, and how to have a good conscience. Pray for the leaders, pray for the leaders, pray for the kings, those in authority, that we can live a peaceable life. And then going back to the last two verses of Romans chapter 13, and that is the application, verse 6 and 7. Now, obeying the law means doing this. Pay your tax. Romans chapter 13, verse 6. Let's read together. Romans chapter 13, verse 6. Together. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Now, the word tribute means pay your tax. Pay your tax. For this cause, this is what God has ordained. This is the land that we live in. This is the government, and they ask us to pay tax. Then, don't complain. Pay your tax. You got your GST tax. You have a property, you pay your property tax. You buy a car, you pay your car tax, your COE. And your personal income tax. Pay your tribute. They are God's minister. The Bible emphasizes again. God has ordained them. They are called God's ministers. And they have to attend to many things of the land, and you pay your tax. You are civil servant, something like me, I'm in the state board, but all our salary is automatically declared in the income tax. But if you are not, listen here, don't cheat. Don't under-declare your income. The Bible says, for this cause, pay ye your tribute. Especially those who are working independently. You can under-declare. A lot of people who are hawkers, they drive big Mercedes, BMW, but they say that they're only $700 a month. It's very hard for the government to check. But you don't have a good conscience as a Christian. So pay ye your tribute. Pay your tribute. This is required the land declare honesty. You don't one day the law come to you and then you come out, Elder John Leong, never pay income tax for the last 3 years. Tabernacle BB Church. Then our testimony will be affected. So pay ye your tribute. Be honest, have a good conscience before God. Declare honestly, pay your tribute, pay your income tax. Hey, but nobody knows what. Government doesn't know how much I earn. Yeah, but God knows how much you earn. And so the Bible reminds us to do that. In verse 7, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute, right? They want it, give it to them. They need us to pay the property tax, pay them. Whatever tax, we follow as a good Christian citizen. You know that our Lord Jesus Christ set us the example. Jesus Christ himself paid the tax. He himself paid the tax that is required of him. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and I'll show you this. Matthew chapter 17, Jesus himself set us the example. Matthew chapter 17. In verse 24. If our master set us the example, let's follow it. In verse 24, and when they will come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, those who are tax collector, tribute money, they came to Peter and said, Does your master Jesus pay tribute, pay tax? And in verse 25, Peter very fast said, yes! And then, if you go to verse 27, the Lord said to Peter, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go down to the sea and cast and hope. And then you take up the fish that first coming up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money that take and gave unto them for me and thee. See? And so the Lord Jesus paid his tax, right? And of course the Lord has his way to get the money from the fish mouth. And then to pay the tax. But the Lord is setting us a very important example that tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, honor to whom honor. See? And that's what we must do as a good Christian citizen. I want to conclude my message, dearly beloved. And I want to say this, that there's a reason why Bible teaches us to submit to authority. The highest authority of the land is the government. But in every aspect of our life, we have different authority. In your family, your parents are your authority. In your school, your authority are your teachers, your principal. In your workplace, your bosses are your authority. It's very easy for us always to complain, to murmur, and to rebel, and to think that I can do it in a better way. But the Bible says submit, submit. Why? You understand why? Because the Lord is teaching us that when we learn how to submit to those on the earthly realm, then we learn how to submit to God. When you do not know how to submit to your parents, you never know how to submit to God. If you don't know how to submit to your bosses and always challenge them and always murmur against them and always say they're lousy, you'll never learn how to submit and be obedient to God. And so, if you do not know how to submit to the laws of the land, the rulers of our country, you'll never know what it means to submit to God. And so, the Bible is very clear. Why? Why submit? Because ultimately, we all learn to learn how to submit to God in our lives. You want to live your own life? And do what you want, you'll end up knocking your head in pain, in trouble, in sin. But when we learn to submit to God, His way is always the best. And His way is the most blessed, most peaceful for us. So may the Lord help us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can learn today what it means to submit to the civil authority of the land. We thank you, Lord, that your word has taught us. And we pray, Lord, that thou will help us to obey your word. Because this is what is right and what is pleasing in your sight. And grant us the grace, O Lord, most of all, to learn what it means to submit to you, Lord, in our lives. Lord, we know that in our heart we are very stubborn, very rebellious. Many times we want to live our own lives and do what we want, and do what is pleasing in our own eyes. Please forgive us, Lord, and please teach us, Lord, that your way is the best, and that we will learn to submit to your way and follow your way. So bless thy people here, remember us, strengthen us, that we be obedient, submissive to you, Lord, first of all, and then to all in authority. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.